Hi, everybody. We are dealing now with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 17. We have been working on the creative hierarchies, a profound subject, difficult subject, and perhaps we will only be skimming the surface in a way, but we'll do the best we can. We worked as far as page 36. I've been trying to list the pages. Really, in our last webinar, we discussed only page 34 and 35, the two creative hierarchy tabulations, and a little bit of 36. We began with some statements about the creative hierarchies. That's where we were ending, rather. These are hierarchies of creative powers, and they are monadic hierarchies. There are three hierarchies which are of profound significance, at least to our planet, and I believe in this solar system. And they are hierarchies 4, 5, and 6 in order. The hierarchy of human monads, the solar angels, and the lower part of the hierarchy, as well as the hierarchy of lunar lords. So somehow we are attempting to relate the sun and the moon. Capricorn hierarchy, number 5, is in a way a solar hierarchy. It has to do with the solar angels, but it does have a lunar aspect to it, apparently, in its lower part, symbolized by the five-pointed star pointing downward. Then we also discuss the idea that the fourth creative hierarchy is in reality the ninth, the hierarchy of initiates, and 9 initiations lie before the member of the human creative hierarchy, the fourth creative hierarchy, perhaps of every hierarchy. It could be said that there are 7 stages of form and 9 stages of consciousness represented by the 9 initiations. We now are moving on to point number 4. We are told in a treatise in Cosmic Fire that in the 9th, 10th, and 11th hierarchies, counting from the bottom upwards, lies the clue to the nature of Agni, the Lord of Fire, the sum total of systemic vitality. Agni is, in a way, the personality nature of the solar logos. It has been said as well that Agni is prominent on our cosmic physical plane, on the monadic, atmic, and buddhic planes. But now, the clue to the nature of Agni is being taken still higher. And let us see here. What did he say? The 9th, 10th, and 11th give us the clue to the nature of Agni. The 9th, 10th, and 11th hierarchies, 11th hierarchies, counting from the bottom upward, lies the clue to the nature of Agni, the Lord of Fire, the sum total of systemic vitality. Agni is probably even more than that, because Agni is related to the astral body and lower mental body as well of the solar logos, but systemic vitality is the animating energy of the entire cosmic physical plane, and Agni apparently gives us that. So, interestingly, we are dealing with the hierarchies that start with Aries, Taurus, and Gemini, and these are, in a way, abstract signs, the first 3 signs, and apparently are the originating power of Agni as it finds its expression on the cosmic physical plane. Though, as I said, Agni being the personality nature of the solar logos, it obviously has expressions on still higher cosmic planes. It fits very well. The idea of Agni fitting with Aries is a close fit. And Aries, the primary fire sign, the major first-ray sign, it seems appropriate to begin with the Lord of Fire on the 4th level or subplane of the cosmic astral plane. Many things are said about Agni. Sometimes we would think it would be confined simply to the mental plane of the cosmic physical plane. Sometimes these three planes, monadic, spiritual, and intuitive, are considered to be expressions of Agni, or perhaps including even the logoic plane, the sea of fire, that would make sense. But if we look at still higher planes, we will find that Agni is operative on all these 18 cosmic subplanes, and maybe in a certain sense Agni has power on the higher cosmic mental plane. All of this has to be sorted out. There are different expressions of Agni, the Lord of Fire. Agni in some ways is equivalent to Brahma, but in some ways still more, and connected with solar fire and electric fire. Okay, so the sum total of systemic vitality will be related to the hierarchies ruled by the signs Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. A creative hierarchy is ruled by the signs Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. Okay. Then, point number five. Much light can come to the earnest student through a study of the numbers connected with these hierarchies. Well, okay, we have been emphasizing that fact exactly, that if we use the power of Mercury and of pure reason to relate hierarchies or parts of hierarchies with similar numbers, lines of illumination can appear between these hierarchies, revealing the relationship between their nature and function. The first five hierarchies are regarded, we are told, as pure abstractions, although the fifth creative hierarchy is focused on the highest of the cosmic etheric planes, on the cosmic physical plane. So whether it is entirely a pure abstraction yet, or is heading in the direction of becoming a pure abstraction, this is something we can look into with greater care. Hierarchy 1 has the numbers 6, 1, and 7. Well, you know, let's just show this, because after all, we've been seeing this. Hierarchy 1 has the numbers 6, 1, and 7. Yes, sure enough, and a picture's worth a thousand words. Hierarchy 2 has the numbers 7, 2, and 7, 2, and 6. 7, 2, and 6. There they are. Hierarchy 3, I suppose it goes on to that, has the numbers 8, 3, and 5. Here they are, 8, 3, and 5. Obviously a very intellectual hierarchy. Every one of these numbers can also stand for a kind of ray presence. For instance, you know, if we're looking at the hierarchy of monads, what we find here is a number 6 as well as a number 7. Well, the monads are lords of ceaseless and persevering devotion. There's your number 6. And their point is to put in a material manifestation on the very lowest plane and manifest the monadic nature redemptively on even the very lowest or the seventh plane. As far as ray number 2 goes, they create great formative sounds, which are seven great sound geometries, which are archetypally related to all lesser forms. So the seven great wheels on the monadic plane have to be related to hierarchy number 2 or number 7, depending on how we look at it. And if you want to think about it, these numbers are very significant, because we have Jupiter as the ruler of this hierarchy, Jupiter and Virgo. Virgo is the sixth sign. Take a look at that. Virgo is the sixth sign. And Jupiter, its hierarchical ruler, expresses principally rays 2 and rays 7, because Jupiter is a ceremonial planet. So somehow all of these numbers are fitting together and showing intimate, reasonable relationships. Hierarchy number 4 has the numbers 944. That is the human creative hierarchy. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, we're looking at that. And here it is. 9, 4, and 4. And then we're going to see 10, 5, and 3. For the next one, hierarchy 5 has these numbers, also intellectual and will numbers. But the number 1 or 10 has to do with identity. And it is here that self-consciousness, in a somewhat limited sense, is created. So that fits with the 10. And the 5, of course, with the fifth plane, and with the idea that these solar angels are great lords of Manus and intelligent to conceal. But it will also confuse the student. So Decay, in this case, is trying for us not to fall into a false blind. If he needs to blind a particular subject, he does so, but he doesn't want to induce confusion, or at least he wants to alert us to different numerical systems, numbering systems, which could confuse us. The first four hierarchies achieved liberation in the first solar system. Well, was it really the first solar system? It was the first major solar system. In other words, DK tells us there have been 5 solar systems, and we are in the second major solar system. The previous one was the first major. It probably was given very much the development of the personality nature of the solar logos, and personality, we realize, takes its origin from the plane of mind. So the idea that it was an intellectual system, but also a personal system, makes a lot of sense. And we are in the soul system, in which initiations are being taken by our solar logos, because he's coming under the influence of his own great solar angel on the higher cosmic mental plane. So the first four hierarchies achieved liberation in the first solar system. What is liberation? Liberation is the freedom from the cosmic physical plane. Normally, when we talk about liberation, we talk about achieving freedom from the lower three worlds, or especially from the 18 lower subplanes, but really our liberation concerns the fourth initiation, and liberation then from the dense physical body of the solar logos. I think liberation for these other hierarchies looks like liberation from the cosmic etheric physical plane, liberation from the solar system, the solar systemic expression of the solar logos. He's still very much active within the body, astral body of the solar logos, but not within his system per se. Their influence reached our Earth through the medium of the fifth creative hierarchy. Now, is that a past tense, reached, or is it, reaches? We'll have to check a book on that. Sometimes there are typos in this AABCD ROM, and they occur in strange places. They still do have influence. They are liberated. But remember that the fifth creative hierarchy is partially unmanifested, partially liberated, apparently, and so has its place of focus on the highest of the cosmic etheric planes, i.e. the logoic plane. And there is a way thereby where it can bring into the cosmic ethers that part of cosmic desire which the first four hierarchies represent. Now we're on page 37. Boy, are we making progress. Okay. These are therefore related to the four rays which work as minor rays of attribute under the great major third ray of active intelligence. So I think he's talking about all five of the liberated or almost liberated creative hierarchies. These, because we do have the first of the liberated creative hierarchies being ruled by the great third ray of active intelligence. Associating Pisces with active intelligence, well, Pisces is the ocean of matter, and matter is ruled by the intelligence aspect. So I think a great deal of what goes on within the substance of the cosmic physical plane is directed from this first creative hierarchy, the first unmanifested creative hierarchy. The ray is ray three, and one of the keynotes on the clockwise wheel for Pisces is go forth into matter. So the connection of matter substance with Pisces is very strong, and probably also the passivity of matter is related to the passivity of Pisces. Perhaps this great third ray working through the first first of the creative hierarchies is related to the substance of the previous solar system, which is ruled by the third ray, not the second, and therefore this hierarchy is related to that which occurs within the dense physical body of the solar logos, which is inherited from his previous solar system. So we're talking about the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth rays in relation to these liberated, or in one case, almost liberated hierarchy. Pisces, okay. Well, this becomes interesting. Pisces is seen at the head of the list of zodiacal signs because it is governing the present great astrological world cycle of 25,000 years, soon to end, but at a time which cannot be determined by human astrological science, DK tells us. And then you kind of wonder whether we would move up within the creative hierarchies so that Aquarius, which is destined to govern the next 25,000-year cycle, would head 12 creative hierarchies. And we wonder what would happen to the lowest of the creative hierarchies, whether there would be an etherealization of matter in our solar system in such a way that the very lowest aspects of matter would disappear. Although it does seem to me that the etheric nature of our solar system will not disappear. And probably that etheric nature will still be active in the next solar system. It doesn't seem quite reasonable that the astral plane will be the lowest plane in the next solar system. Could be, but I think something of the etheric physical nature will be transferred over into that system, especially since it will be ruled by Ray 1, and Ray 1 has to have a lower correspondence in the etheric physical nature, at least in the etheric part of it. In any case, it's very interesting that it heads the list, the Pisces hierarchy heads the list, because it's presently active. We are almost, however, at the end of that great age, and the implications from DK is that the 25,000-year Aquarian cycle will begin rather soon, and I think before we leave the 2500-year Aquarian cycle, which we know, according to one of the DK letters, is beginning in the year 2117, at which point the vernal equinox will reach the 30th degree of Aquarius, however that may be measured. Okay, so Pisces is still important, and even though we may fade out of the age of Pisces and its influence may entirely disappear in the 21st century, as DK tells us, the sixth ray influence disappearing a bit later, perhaps by the year 2130 or somewhere there, that even though that Piscean influence may disappear, there may be a bit of a hangover of the Pisces influence for some hundreds of years later, due to the fact that the 25,000-year Pisces cycle may not have expired. But certainly we are in the 5,000-year overlap period between the two great Platonic ages of Pisces and Aquarius. So this is a time of real mixture of energies and contention of energies between these two streams. We can feel it on the lesser 2500-year cycle, as Pisces contends with the emerging Aquarius, perhaps ever since the time of Sir Francis Bacon, who was the archetypal Aquarian, as Master R, and had in his horoscope an Aquarius Sun, an Aquarius Ascendant, and Mercury rising in Aquarius. Very Aquarian. But we can feel it also in a much vaster sense. That 5,000-year period beginning when? Could it have been at the death of Krishna, at the beginning of one of the Kali Yugas? Could it have been almost 5,000 years ago, or just about 5,000 years ago, when the Buddha, a great savior, took over the head of the spiritual hierarchy in that year, or approximately the year 3000 BC? Could it have been then, or a little later? Our science cannot determine it, but the implication is that we are not far from the beginning of that 25,000-year Aquarian cycle, which, as I said, I believe will occur during the 2500-year impending Aquarian cycle, though I cannot prove it. I'll have to, that's another line of research, and I would have to have the Tibetans' words in front of me in order to reason with fair accuracy about it. This Pisces, it was also one of the dominant signs influencing our planet at the time of individualization, when the human kingdom came into being. Now, usually you hear of Leo, Gemini, Sagittarius, etc., as being dominant, but Pisces may have given a great impressionability, and the saviors, who are the solar angels, may have been able to enter more powerfully when a saving sign, Pisces, and a second ray sign at that, was in potency. So we'll just have to accept what DK says here. It was one of the dominant signs, although this is not usually discussed in other contexts. It is basically related to the first or highest grade of hierarchy. Now, is it really? That's the question. Can you extend these grade of hierarchies? It would seem to me that you would have to. But I think we're talking here about our solar system at our present level of development. So it's the highest, first or highest grade of hierarchy which DK mentions. But the probability of going beyond it on Jacob's ladder of universal development, I would say, is very good. Though probably speculation doesn't do much for us, except that we are able to extrapolate using rays and signs as we speculate about what these higher creative hierarchies might be. So it is basically related to the first or highest creative hierarchy, which is, in its turn, related to the third ray of active intelligence. This we have been discussing. It was the product of the first solar system. So it emerged as it is due to development within the first solar system. He calls it the first solar system, but we have to remember it's the first of the major solar systems. The development of illumination through an awakened intelligence is the first goal of humanity, and this is the hierarchy which has priority. And let us see here. What illumination has to do with the picture, because illumination, I think, is very connected with the Taurus hierarchy, but definitely on the third subplane of the cosmic astral plane, the factor of intelligence and illumination will be strong because it's such a mental position. And intelligence is found all the way through in terms of the rays that are ruling. So we achieve illumination by sensitivity to the higher energies which are expressing already in the world of light. And Pisces gives us the sensitivity to those higher dimensions. Pisces gives sensitivity to the dimensions where in illumination already, exists. Sensitivity, okay. All right, well, you see, we can maybe say a few things, but there is extraordinary depth to what the DK is talking about. Obviously, we as monads that are in the manifesting creative hierarchies are not really to be considered products of the first solar system. You know, here we would have to say that these liberated lives achieved individualization in the first solar system. But then, you know, think of it, even some human beings who are the nomads wandering on the third and fourth ray into our solar system achieved individualization and some degree of self-conscious development in the first solar system. So the question of what it means by the product of, it could be individualization, could be that. Certainly if the solar angels were men in the first solar system, first major solar system, they achieved individualization there. The question is, did these higher hierarchies also achieve individualization there, or possibly in earlier solar systems? All right. Let's move on here to what DK continues to say. The fifth creative hierarchy, also numbered 8, is on the verge of liberation. This we have been discussing. It is peculiarly connected with the 10th creative hierarchy, which is the fifth of the manifested creative hierarchies, and with the constellation Capricorn, and with the human personality, which veils and temporarily hides the Christ principle behind both form and mind. Well, think about this. The sign Cancer, which is veiling the Christ, is very much connected with the lunar vehicles of man, which these lunar vehicles comprise his personality. The sign Capricorn usually gives liberation from that personality, but at the same time there is a certain density of this sign, Capricorn, which leads to the sense of separative personality. The principle of separation can be very strong in the lower type of Capricorn because it rules concretion, and when you have concretion, you don't have that flow between a unit through a subtle membrane connecting it to other units. You have isolation, solidification, concretion. I also explained that the fifth almost liberated hierarchy is ruled by Neptune, and the fifth or tenth hierarchy, which is manifested, is ruled by Venus, and Neptune is the higher octave. So this human personality is very much involved with the Capricorn, Cancer Capricorn polarity. And I'm trying to think about, tabulation in Esoteric Psychology, on Esoteric Astrology, page 50, and we see that the Cancer Capricorn is mediated through Saturn, and is bringing the energies of Sirius, which are providing the solar angels, which make it possible for man to individualize and begin to develop his personality consciousness based upon that consciousness developing around the spark of mind. So we do see here a connection with individualization and the 10th creative hierarchy, and with the constellations Cancer and Capricorn contributing to that sense of distinctness. It is peculiarly connected with the 10th creative hierarchy, with the constellation Capricorn, the two gates, Cancer and Capricorn, and with the human personality, which veils and temporarily hides the Christ principle behind both form and mind. So Capricorn and Cancer are giving us form and mind, and the solar angels have given us mind. So at least one part of this hierarchy is related to the veil, and another part to the liberating factor, to the Christ principle, which thins the veil and brings about release from form and mind. Eight is under some numerical systems regarded as the number of the Christ. It would be great to know what those numerical systems actually were. Eight is also a number of the infernal forces, and is connected with an eighth sphere idea, which can be described in different ways. You know, Blavatsky described it as a kind of a dust bin or a dust bowl into which all refuse was being swept as this dust bin swept along behind the earth. I wonder if how literal that really is, but it has an amazing an amazingly graphic presentation. But from another perspective, it's about the eighth sphere and the concrete mind, which definitely hides behind form and mind. The Christ principle can be considered a kind of eighth sphere. And the development of an independent eighth sphere, or the creation of a concrete mind of immense power, which is impervious to the liberating influence of the higher part of this fifth creative hierarchy, is a great tragedy which can befall a human being as he veers off on the left-hand path and becomes a member of the Black Lodge. So eight is a Christ number, yes, and will relate in that case to the solar angels, but eight is also an infernal number and can relate to the dregs and to the lower part of Scorpio, and to the concrete mind as the eighth sphere, blocking all possibility of passing along the Sirian line of initiation and making contact with the eighth creative hierarchy of triads. And as DK will tell us, the man refuses to become a Christ. So we need to look at things. There's no number which is high or low. The number of love, wisdom, and unity in relationship, for instance, is also The number two, the number of duality. We can look at it from high, from low. The number of absolute identification, the number one, can be considered a number of complete unitary isolation and egoism in which the man becomes untouchable, as is the case on the first ray and sometimes the fifth, DK tells us. So we're going to do more with this fifth grade of hierarchy because it is so pivotal to our development as true human beings and as eventually as angelic beings and eventually as solar angels. We go on about the greater builders and lesser builders, remembering that we are not talking necessarily about unself-conscious builders or those who are self-conscious and therefore greater. We're talking about the builders who work according to the archetypes found upon the cosmic etheric planes and who build in the cosmic ethers those forms which must precipitate as the plan-derived forms on the within the dense physical body of the solar logos. The greater builders and lesser builders of hierarchy 2 and 3, working on the second and third planes of our solar system, have their activities reflected in the lunar lords and elemental lives. And let's see how that might work out. Here are the greater builders, and here are the lesser builders. And perhaps it works in this way, that there is a kind of reflection which is a correspondence, not an inversion, and the divine builders will be connected, these greater builders connected, with the lunar lords, the number 6 and 2 correlating, those rays correlating, and the lesser builders who are within the body of Brahma, cosmically considered, systemically considered, will be reflected in the elemental lives, the basis material lives, because we have now entered the realm of matter. This is still the realm of quality, divine builders, reflected in the lunar lords. But once we touch the lesser builders, we have entered our systemic Brahma, we're in the realm of matter, and that is reflected in the lowest of the creative hierarchies, the elemental lives. Even the lunar lords can be considered elementals, but the tiny elemental lives, these come in a different category, and the vehicle of a lunar lord is comprised of many tiny elemental lives. So we have to be cautious in the way the word elemental is used, because sometimes it can mean quite a sizable vehicle, mental elemental, personality elemental, astral elemental, physical elemental, but sometimes it can mean the tiniest of lives which are the constituents of matter. Maybe the tiniest elemental life of all is found in a way in the matter of the logoic plane and would be called, in Leadbeater's terms, a bubble in the koilon. Let's see where we are here. Well, okay, we're moving along. So the greater builders and the lesser builders working on the second and third subplanes of our solar system. I suppose these are Deva hierarchies, although one type is the prototype of the monad. So maybe this third hierarchy, third manifesting hierarchy, is a Deva hierarchy. I believe so, but can we say the same of the greater builders on the monadic plane, who are the prototypes of the monads being man? There's much yet to be clarified in this question of what is a Deva hierarchy and what is a man-like hierarchy. So these are reflected in the work of the lunar lords and the elemental lives going on. You will note that the human hierarchy on chart 944, that's the way it looks, it's chart 944, Okay, the human hierarchy, not necessarily the human kingdom, because there are many kingdoms in the same hierarchy. You could even wonder, from some perspectives, whether the mineral, vegetable, animal kingdoms, as well as the human, are found in the fourth creative hierarchy. Certainly the kingdom of souls is found there, and maybe even the kingdom of planetary lives. This is really a different way of looking at the kingdoms, as if they all are based upon a monadic focus on the monadic plane of the cosmic physical plane. So anyway, you will note that the human hierarchy is assigned no particular element, as it has to fuse and synthesize them all. So we are working with the four elements. We are working on the cross. The four elements present to us one of our crosses. And we can see that in any one of the astrological triplicities, we will have fire, water, air, and earth. Well, let's take a look at the cardinal group, or quaternaries, rather. We have Aries, fire, square to Cancer, water, square to Libra, air, square to Capricorn, earth. So working with the elements presents us with a great challenge, because they are located in a way square to each other and have to be synthesized, reconciled. Now, if you have a cross, that's a cross like this, we have to go to the center of the cross to find the point of reconciliation and lift that center into the number five before it becomes a point of synthesis. So as we are tested on varieties of the cross, and this factor of fusing the elements in a great conflicted situation is part of the great tests of initiation under Scorpio. We remember that under Scorpio, the first three initiations minimally occur, and if Scorpio is active at the fourth initiation of death, then its peculiar testing potency is no longer what it was for the first three initiations. It makes sense, because Scorpio is the major fourth ray sign, at least at this time, and so naturally Scorpio would be related to the cross. Scorpio related to the cross. And to all of our testing on various crosses. We do have various crosses, and we are tested on them. We have the cross of experience, the common or mutable cross, which the elements of which in that quaternary are all in square or opposed to each other. We have the fixed cross of the soul, which gives us our awakening as a soul and our liberation as a soul from matter. And we have the cardinal cross, also a great square and opposition configuration, giving us higher planetary, systemic, and even cosmic development. So we do see that we, the human kingdom, have to rise above the cross into the number five, in a sense, into the kingdom of souls, into the sign Leo, which is the most human of all the signs, into the way Leo represents mastership. We have to master the elements. We're crucified on the cross. We rise above it. Perhaps the very point of synthesis at the center of the cross, in a way, represents the fourth initiation, and it spirals up to the pyramid, which is one of the great symbols of the fifth initiation. And number 12. This chart is drawn up in relation only to the fourth creative hierarchy. Now, this is important. It's a question I have been asking. The human. It is not drawn up in relation to the other planetary manifestations. We wonder what that would be. This is telling us something about how all of these creative hierarchies are working in relation to human development, but it still may relate to humanity as found on other planets, on other planets. So even though the perspective is not that of the development of any of these other creative hierarchies, and man occupies a central position here, this is not to say that the charts that are drawn up have only to do with the manifestation on our planet, though I think somehow it has particular relevance to manifestation, human manifestation on our planet. After all, it's the only planet on which we really understand anything about human manifestation, even though we are told there are humanities that have developed on Venus and Mercury and Vulcan and the Earth. He talks about the present humanity on Vulcan, two-fifths of which have achieved when only one-fifth of our humanity has achieved, and seems to point to Venus as a field in which all the human units have achieved and possibly become Buddhic. All right. Now, wow, we have made it from page 36 to 38. We are really speeding along here. The chart has been compiled from a very limited stock of knowledge that has thus far been revealed on the subject, and it is as correct as possible under the circumstances. Well, this certainly answers my question, doesn't it? This is not from DK's direct dictation, but from that which has been available. And therefore, there are probably, some holes in this chart, and incompleteness and methods of describing things which are perhaps not pristine, and some possible lines of confusion or provocation. When I see on this chart that the solar angel is connected directly with the human hierarchy, immediately we want to know what it is. Why does he describe not the human, but solar angels, Agnishvatas, and their Buddhic connection? That is somewhat mysterious. We do have to consider whether the solar angels achieved more than a Buddhic status in the last solar system. After all, even if there were five planes, they are initiates of all degrees. That would be at least what was the highest initiation achievable in the last solar system? I know somewhere DK talks about it. Was it initiation number 4? Possibly, I think so. But the solar angels, those who were men in the previous solar system, had to pass on to the cosmic astral plane in order to go to Sirius, in order to be breathed out again as men who had become solar angels. So their monad seems to have had to focus on the cosmic astral plane. But what is their main field of expression now on the cosmic physical plane? Certainly sacrificially, it's on the higher mental plane, yes. But what is their field of non-sacrificial expression? Where do they ordinarily and in the economy of our solar system express? Is it simply the Buddhic plane, or did they not move beyond that in the previous solar system, or have they returned to the Buddhic plane also sacrificially? See, because the human monads are to express on the Buddhic plane, and yet the solar angelic monads are much higher. Are they too to express on the Buddhic plane? The question always is, what is a true solar angel? And in a way, are all of these beings solar angels of different categories? These things are not easy to answer. We can't answer them. DK says we will not solve the mystery of the fifth grade of hierarchy. We will not solve the mystery of the solar angels. But what I try to do here is offer up lines of connection and speculation which may put a few arcs of light into the field which were not there before, and maybe those arcs of light will lead to others, and eventually to a solution when we have developed a higher consciousness. So anyway, the charts are limited. Each of the seven hierarchies of beings, these are the manifested ones, found within the 12, who are the builders or the attractive agents. In other words, they are monads with attractive power that attract different types of matter and form around them, are in their degree intermediaries. So we can see creative hierarchies working through lesser creative hierarchies and aspiring to participate in the life of greater creative hierarchies. They all embody one of the types of force emanating from the seven constellations. The term constellations is there, and I think not signs per se. And the constellations involved here are Leo through Aquarius. Leo through Aquarius. So, interestingly enough, Leo is the sign where individualization importantly occurs, the creating of a central focus. And Aquarius is the final sign of the distribution, the wide universalization or distribution of that which has been individualized. It finds its place within the group ruled by Aquarius. So they have intermediary work. We're not going to have time to say too much about it. Their intermediary work is therefore dual. Let's see. They are mediators between spirit and matter. Now, does that mean that the monads per se are the mediators because all the creative hierarchies are mediators? Or are we looking at the monads plus the form creating the being? And do we look at spirit as related to life expression on the higher planes and matter as related to life expression on the cosmic physical plane? In any case, they are mediators between spirit and matter. Certainly the solar angels are that, very definitely so. They occupy that kind of function for man. They stand between his monadic triadal nature and his material nature, and maybe all of the hierarchies in some ways are mediating between that which for them is spirit and that which is lower than them, than they are, as matter. And these hierarchies as well are transmitters of force from sources extraneous to the solar system to forms within the solar system. The creative hierarchies are actually building the forms within the solar system. They are building these forms within the solar system and convey zodiacal energy to these forms. Because the constellations of the zodiac, STS, of the zodiac are extraneous to the solar system. And also there are ray energies coming from ray sources which these hierarchies receive. I mean, you know, if a human being of the third initiation can already begin receiving from the Great Bear, from Pleiades and Sirius, then certainly these higher hierarchies can be receiving from cosmic sources. So they are mediating between spirit and matter in general, though the question is, what is spirit and what is matter for any of these hierarchies? I mean, spirit for man, as far as we are concerned in his monadic nature, is still occurring on the cosmic physical plane. But spirit for a solar angel, let us say, is probably on the cosmic astral plane. Even though spirit is all equivalent, spirit is spirit, Still, the manifestation of the monad is still involved with different kinds of substances. Does substance exist on the cosmic astral plane? It has sometimes been asked. DK says, does matter exist on the cosmic astral plane? But we have to say yes in a way, because notice that the third creative hierarchy is dealing with intelligent substance. So that is substance on the cosmic astral plane. As a matter of fact, what does it mean that all the cosmic planes may or may not be substantial? That's probably way beyond our ability to grasp. Can they be substantial without being prakritic or made of units of matter? Well, that's off into another direction, which it probably is not a good idea to pursue at this time. Although in my book, Infinitization of Selfhood, I think I made some wild pursuits of such subjects. Each of these groups of beings is likewise septenary in nature, in terms of form at least, and maybe ninefold in terms of consciousness. And the 49 fires of Brahma are the lowest manifestation of their fiery nature. Each group may also be regarded as fallen in the cosmic sense because involved in the building process, or the occupiers of form of some degree of density or another on the cosmic physical plane. On the cosmic physical plane. Well, I'll tell you what, we're at the point now where we have to end our esoteric astrology adventure number 17. And so this is the end of EAA 17. We've made it to page 38. Well, I have to say maybe the tortoise will win the race. This is the 29th of June, 2011. And now together we will use and say the great invocation. Well, all I have to do is find it, right? Right. So we'll just say, from the point of light, and that should give it to us. No, it doesn't. We'll do it a different way. All right, that'll do it. And we together use the great mantram of light and power, which is our greatest instrument for contributing to the reappearance of the Christ. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men, let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men, may Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you. And we have moved to page 38, and we will take up Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 18. at the earliest time that I can bring it to us. And for now, farewell.